Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hey, today I want to share just briefly. We're in a wonderful season of spring, right? And if anybody walks out and it's been kind of a nice summery spring day and all of a sudden you catch whiffs of sweet smells of things, flowers, and I walk out my back door, or I come home and I get out of the car, and I smell, and I don't know where the fragrance is coming from. And it's kind of like that of God. We don't know where God is coming from, but He's around us. And as much as He's a fragrance to us, He wants us to be a fragrance to Him. And so it's an awesome thing. And the scripture that got me on this was 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. There's a good and the bad of it. There's a smell that's going out there. But for that of a Christian, for that of a follower of Christ, it's a sweet fragrance that God is smelling. It's the fragrance of Christ coming into His nostrils. Because what? Christ lives, hopefully, through us, in us. We are His. But to those that are lost and dying out there, it's a putrid smell. It's the pig smell. I bet that would be, you know, if you're going to compare the two. Give me the lilac smell over the manure smell. But that's what I smell a lot when I get out, and we've got a couple of lilac bushes, but before they came into bloom, I'm going, man, there's a smell coming from somebody in my yard, somewhere in our neighborhood. And it was so sweet. And you didn't mind standing out there and just inhaling and smelling that. But then again, it was me also thinking that's God. I don't know how God would smell, but if I would smell that in the nature that He has created, the flowers and the blooms and the so much out there, that it's not just visually that I see Him by the colors and the contrast and the beauty and the purity of things, but it's the smell that I smell of, even if, you know, we talk about in the season when out in the country when they plow and disc that ground for the first time of the spring, you can smell that dirt. The smelling of dirt being turned over is a great smell. It's like, So God has given us many things, I believe, that if we focus on them, that will remind us of Him. But it's for us to remember we got to think of Him and we got to keep our thoughts on Him. But also He is looking for those around that smell like that of Christ. New Living says this, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance. Take a look at yourself or take a smell check of yourself, right? What are you smelling of yourself? Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and as those that are being or that are perishing. How sad it is for those that are perishing that they're doing so on their own volition. Because salvation is for all. But many out there that are not being saved, many that have turned away or not believing that message, they think it's a joke. They don't believe a God. They don't believe that Jesus came to take their sins. They don't believe of salvation, of eternity. Many people in our lives and world of today will say, you know, Tim, or you, or whoever, you speak of hell, but I believe hell is right here on this earth. And that just throws you off because you're thinking like, if you think this is hell, this is as good as it gets for you. I think this is God's kingdom upon this earth. I want to be planting and I want to be a part of His kingdom. We many times have declared these 10 acres as God's kingdom upon this earth. Where I go, I'm a walking kingdom of God. Where you go, if you're a child of God, you're a walking kingdom of His in this world that is dying and going to hell. And you can smell it out there if you had your spiritual smells on that, you know, this is ugliness. This is terrible. Why aren't these people listening? But we find that many people didn't listen to Jesus either. They were cut out to go their way, and Jesus couldn't win them all. And He actually started trying to do what? Share the salvation with the Jewish people first, for Jewish is where they're at, you know. And they turned Him away. But thank God for that, because He came to the Gentiles, which was for us. And He says, I tell you what, I'm going to go where they're going to receive. And so thank God for you that are sitting here today. You received, hopefully, that salvation message from Jesus that was first for that of the Jew. But now it's for all. All. We can glean from this verse that as believers, that through our lives, the witness that we give spreads the knowledge of Christ. Are you spreading the knowledge of Christ? I think you guys are. Wherever you go, whatever you do. You know, there's so many things happening now in this world that's fast-paced that many times now I think people are looking at, like, what is going on? When this has to end. And it's like for us, we say, well, yeah, there is an ending coming when Christ comes again, you know. But I think that's going to prick their heart a little bit to think, like, what am I missing? Or it's going to be this. How can you be so happy when all this is dark around me? Because I would say I don't walk in the dark, right? I'm in the light. I see the light of Christ. I see the light of God. I see good things. The light exposes the deceitfulness. But those that are being deceived or lied to and receiving it, they're in the dark. They're like, try to go through a room with no lights on and stumble your way through it, right? And you end up with a hurt toe, a shinned knee, all kinds of things. And that's what this world is walking through, a darkness. But they don't realize that it's a darkness because they're looking at the natural. And you speak to them out there about darkness and they're saying, well, the sun's out, Tim. Are you a nut? But no, it's because of how I see it, the way I want to see it. See, you have a choice for salvation. Choose this day. Well, every day that you wake up, you've got a choice of how you're going to live out that day, even as a Christian. Because we've got a lot of Christians out there that are bemoaning and doom. And, you know, they're downers, man. You cannot have a church of Christian people be downers. They've got to be encouraged. You've got to be pumped up. You've got to be knowing who you are serving. Even in this darkness of life that we're in right now, but I'm in a great place because I'm serving God. And I'm walking in light. And I'm a kingdom child. And he's taking care of me. And all these things come against me. And bills and taxes and insurances and all these things. And utility bills and all these things. Let them come because I'm a child of God. If they send me a bill, I know my God's going to provide. If my bill goes up, my God's going to provide. In anything and everything, God provides. It doesn't matter what we go through. We shared even back in the Sunday school hour, like, you know, if it wasn't through troubles and tribulations and problems that we go through, you would not see how much God loves you, because it's through those times that he blesses you and he battles for you and he will give you something even better than what you thought. But it's only during those times of fighting and battling. But we don't do that on our own, because it says the battle is the Lord's. The devil wants you to battle the things on this earth in your own strength, in your own thoughts, and in your own mind. Don't battle them. What did Joyce Meyer say? A thing like the battlefield of the mind? See, our mind can just conjure up everything, good or bad. But the bad thing about it is when you start focusing on the negative just overwhelms you to where there's not enough room to think of the positive. You're the doomer and gloomer. I want to be the pepper upper. 10, 2, and 4, Dr. Pepper. Pepper upper. Not a prepper, not prepping for the, you know, battle of, you know, we're going to take over the country. I'm not a prepper, I'm a pepper. I'm a Dr. Pepper. I'm a God pepper. Oh, spicy pepper. What do they make you do? Shake. Shake. Hot peppers, they make you want more, you know. Hot pepper's good. It burns out the infections in your body. I mean, all these things. But, you know, we got to be that for God and the kingdom of God here on this earth. We got to be a difference. We got to be that fragrance. God, when he smells, I want him to smell Tim. Because the way I'm serving God, the way I'm serving my Jesus, the way I'm being obedient, hopefully I'm not perfect, but as we try to be more obedient, that he senses that and there's a fragrance in that. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. The aroma metaphor that we find that Paul is speaking of, it speaks of that of like a Roman victory. So, you know, back in those days, they're speaking of these things and they correlate it to what's known at that time. So this metaphor of aroma goes back to that of a Roman victory parade. It talks about where incense was burnt during those parades, creating a scent that signaled a victory to the victors. We're marching, we won the battle, there's incense burning, we're clumping down the street, or the path, or the road, whatever, into town, as victors. We are victors. We have the victory. But this scent creates a signal that says they were victorious. The smell of the incense meant triumph, joy, life. To the captured prisoners that they were bringing back with them, guess what it meant to them? It meant that that same smell was that of defeat, impending execution. That same smell that the Roman people and the army was smelling and protruding out of, this is our victorious march, the smell, the aroma, the prisoners that they had, they knew that meant death for them. As we are the fragrance of that of Christ, that's talking about that. For us that are saved, we're that sweet aroma. For those in the lost world that we serve in and that we are a part of, I should say, to them, it's an execution of what's to come. As Christians, our aroma is a sweet savor to that, or a pleasant aroma to God. Because those that have been saved have the aroma of Christ that is pleasant, that is life-giving fragrance, that offers hope. We got to offer hope. People have no hope. They're going to come to us in those end times, even our todays now. People come looking at times because of the things that they're going through for hope. Precious Brother Denny was sharing, even in Sunday school, he came in with some things that are going on and situations in their lives right now. He came in kind of defeated, kind of like, this is it. I can't believe it's one thing after another after another. I've been positive, and there are good news, bad news, good news, bad. But towards the end of it, as we shared, what? God's word. God's very word of how he cares for us. Denny, even in his own words, said, I feel better now. I feel different. And that's what the word of God does. It builds us back up from what the world is piling on us. And so we've got to be in fellowship. We have to have a church family. We need to come and have those around us be aware of what's going on, and we can keep them in prayer through not just Sunday, but all through the week or whatever the time that the Holy Spirit prompts us to think of Denny or John or Carol or Bill or Bonnie or Dawn or Linda, Paul, any one of us sitting in here. The Lord brings to us people in our lives. And that's because as he brings those to you, he knows that you're going to lift them up where you're at. It doesn't need to be a long, long, drawn-out prayer. You just mention it and say, Lord, be with whatever they're going through right now, Lord. But we find as we come into the body of Christ that we come in, yes, even us, feeling defeated at times because of what the world does and puts around us, the things that we have to deal with and battle throughout the week. But hopefully when we come into that of the kingdom of God, we come into this building. The building is nothing special. It's the Spirit that's within the building. The Spirit is everywhere, though. It's not just resides here. It goes with us. Remember, we are that temple. We are the church. Wherever we go, God is going with us. So when we meet people on the highways and the byways, we have just brought church to them. They may not realize it that way, but as a follower of Christ, realization and understanding the scriptures of we are his temple of the Holy Spirit, where I go, guess who goes? He does, working through us, giving us things to say, things to listen to, things to be an encouragement to those. That's part of that aroma. That's part of that we're serving Christ like. That's what he's wanting to smell from us. So as believers that have accepted Jesus, we become a living scent, or that of the presence of Jesus here on this earth. This earth, these people on this earth, they need a lot of help. Before I became that of understanding of Christ, I needed to understand more of him. We are all born into this world. We're all born into situations And we battle and we struggle and we fight and we nip and struggle and go. And then somehow along the line we end up with a relationship somehow that we finally receive Jesus Christ. And once we have received him, all of a sudden it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. We always tell people that even Jesus said, even with me you'll have struggles. I always tell people, it's like, even with him I still have struggles, but now I've got him on my side. Because out in the world lost, I was having struggles. But what was happening is I was usually losing those struggles because the enemy was just coming down on me hard. And I couldn't physically keep up. I couldn't mentally keep thoughts and going and trying to do these things. But once as a child of God, we come to realization that he goes and he battles before us those things. I think it's worth repeating. We, as we closed out Sunday school, I brought up Job chapter 5, and it's talking about what God does. And it was like in verses 12 and 13. So as we go through a battle and struggles here, this is in Job, and we know what Job was battling and struggling with, and we've shared this back in Sunday school. But for those that weren't back there, Job 5, 12, he frustrates the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot carry out their plans. The enemy has plans, but he's going to frustrate them to where they won't be able to carry them out. He catches the wise in their own craftiness. See, the world thinks they're pretty crafty. They think they got one up on God, but they don't. And the counsel of the cunning comes quickly upon them. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope at noontime. But it goes back to this. He frustrates the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot carry out their plans. He catches the crafty in their own craftiness. That's my God that I serve. That's why I can maintain a aroma to him. Because I don't have to smell like yuck of battling and fighting. I'm just that of Christ and Christ only. Amen. That I can have that in my life, whether it's good or bad. I want to maintain that style with him. So we become a living scent or a presence of Jesus on this earth, making him known through our actions and the message that we share regarding Jesus as our Savior. You got to talk him up. You got to talk him up out there to those around you. Ultimately, this verse highlights the profound spiritual influence of a Christian's life and the serious transforming nature of the Word of God. The Word of God will transform a person. Did not transform you? You're different than what you started out at. There was a change in you. There was a whole rebirth of you. Old things passed away. All things now become new. It's that transforming nature of the Word of God which acts as a dividing line. And that dividing line is between that of salvation or destruction. It's only two ways there, guys. That's why God says, choose this day who you will serve. You're either going to serve him or you're going to serve the devil. The devil has a lot of people out there thinking that they're doing their own thing, living this life on this earth, just, you know, living at 100 miles an hour, doing their own thing, making their own calls, but they're being deceived, and it's the enemy that's controlling their life, but they just don't realize it. I'm so glad that God's Word is there to help us understand those things, that as we read into those words of God that he wants us to read and remember and put into our spirit so that I know that he's always there with me. It suggests that true Christians, through their actions and character, we will emulate that or the presence of Christ in the world. This world needs to see something different than what they see every day. And the only way they're going to see it is through us. That we live out our faith so that people see that. That there is a difference. It's not that I'm better than you, but I am better than you because I'm only because of that of a child of God. I'm not going to discount that I'm better than those in the world because of who I know. I know the Creator. I know the sovereignty of that of God, but they too can have that same relationship, and they too can be good and better than what's out in the world. I know many times we talk about that, and it's like, oh, I'm just like you, and I was saved by grace. Well, yes, we all started out in sin, and now we're different. So let the difference shine. Let the glory of God shine in your life and through your life and through your actions, not to be boastful and prideful and arrogant, but be there to be an example to show what good is. Let the good dispel that of the bad. But the people in the world think the bad is good because the Word of God says in those last days they will call good bad and bad good. They will call evil bad, good and bad, and good things of God bad. I mean, we see that happening. So God has lined us up and set us up so that we are not taken by surprise. I think a true follower of Christ, we see things happening today and we hear things happening today. It should not confound us and go, I cannot believe that. Even though if I tell on myself, there's times I tell my wife, listening to things, I go, I can't believe that. And it's just me. But God's Word has already prepared me to understand that that's happening. How can they not see that evil and they're calling it good? God's already told me to be aware of that. Doesn't His Word say as sin comes in, the standard is risen? God has a standard, and God's standard is always up here. Many times we, and even some of our churches, we want to help meet down here where the people are at. So we're going to lower our standard because, oh, we want to be able to help them. You're not going to help them by lowering your standard down to where they're at, because they're going to lower you down into the muck and the mire to where they're at. We need to stay at that standard. The world here, brothers and sisters are here. We need to reach down and say, I'll pull you up to where I'm at, but I'm not coming down to where you're at. I've lived down there before, and I ain't going back like a dog to the vomit. I'm not going back there. You know why? Because I know what's down there. The doom, pain, suffering, hurts, aggravations. I'm going to stay where I'm at that of the standard of God, because God has raised me up to that level a little at a time. I've talked about it many times where in my life, it's been like I feel with my God and me, it's like I've gone plateau to plateau to plateau to plateau. He's given me some challenges here. I've worked through them through His grace and mercy and strength. And then He says, okay, Tim, it's time now. I'm going to raise you up. I go up to that next level. Is He continually lifting you to another level? He should, until we get called home. Because what do we say? I've not arrived yet. I'm still learning. I'm still kind of gleaning some of these things from God's Word. And I've got a lot still to learn. But hopefully what I have learned, I'm going to keep close to my heart, close to my spirit, close to my mind, so that I'm guarding all of these things that the enemy wants to come and take and infiltrate and corrupt and to change and to create doubt and dissension. That's what the enemy wants to do. But as a child of God, if I am filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is protecting me. He's speaking into my spirit. He's giving me alarms and warnings and things. You know, when things don't seem right, we ought to have in our spirit to go, wait a minute, let me think this, let me pray about this. Because even as children of God, the devil still wants to come in and take what you got. Why? Because he's already got the lost. They're that fragrance of death. And the devil has already succeeded with them. He doesn't need to do any more for the lost out there than what they're already in. They're just following one another down that wide path to destruction, where we're on that narrow path to that of salvation. But everybody can join us on this path. But guys, it's going to be narrow. God doesn't want you to kind of... like that of a bride. He's coming back for the bride, the church. He wants it to be spotless. The only way you can do that is you need this narrow. As churches, we need to keep ourselves narrowed down and don't get into the hedgerows of so many things that the world would like to drag us into. We need to just keep preaching that of the gospel of Christ, what sin is, what salvation is, what the hope of glory is, and what the cross brought to us and is still very, very powerful for today, the cross. Well, I was so blessed yesterday. I had a 12-year-old granddaughter, and I asked, well, this past week, all of a sudden it came out, and my daughter told me, she goes, well, she was asking for a cross, a necklace with a cross. And she goes, oh, that'd be a good thing for Grandma and Grandpa to get you. Well, I said, well, thank you for letting me know that. And it was like laid on into the rows of like, how am I going to find one now, you know, and get one. But thank God we found one, picked it up, and gave it to her yesterday for her birthday. You know, bless her heart. I pray that she wears that to school. We find in the Old Testament about sacrifices, and those sacrifices were like burnt offerings and the aromas, right? In the Old Testament, sacrifices were only considered a sweet savor to that of God when accompanied by obedience and sincere devotion. Still today, we need obedience and devotion to God. The burning of these specific things of incense was that sweet aroma to God, which would represent of constant praying or sincere prayers, worshiping of that of the things of God. In Leviticus, well, I'm just going to read these. I'm not going to turn to them. By the way, Leviticus 1, it talks, I think, in 9 and 17 or right around there. Burnt offerings of animals are described as a food offering with a pleasing aroma to God. See, back in the Old Testament, these were the things that were pleasing to God before Jesus came on the scene. Leviticus 3, 16, the fat of the peace offering is burnt as a sweet aroma. There's a lot of things in aroma that God wants to smell and what it means to him. In Genesis, after the flood, 8:21, Noah builds an altar and God smells the soothing aroma and promises not to curse the ground again. In Ezekiel 20:41, God promises to accept the Israelites as a sweet aroma when he gathers them among other nations. Again, 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are perishing. We are that aroma. I hope and I pray that as you go out in these days in summer and you smell the fragrances of things, you clicks in your spirit about, hey, aroma, smell, that of God. I'm an aroma to that of God, to God, for that of Christ in my life. We find in the New Testament this metaphor shifts from physical and animal sacrifices to the spiritual devotion of believers, living in a way that does what? Reflects the character of Christ. We need to reflect Jesus. You're the only Christ-like person people are going to see. You're the only Bible people are going to read. All these things that we hear. As believers living in a way that reflects the character of Christ, sometimes called that fragrance of Christ, a sweet-smelling aroma to God is not a physical scent, but a spiritual fragrance representing a believer's devotion. Obedience, sacrificial life. When we begin to serve him, we talk and we sing a song like, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring sacrifices of praise and worship. But as we look at this, it represents the believer's devotion, obedience, and sacrificial life. In the Bible, the sweet aroma is associated with that of prayers, selfless love, don't love yourself, generosity, worshiping that honors that of Jesus, acting as a pleasing sacrifice, a heart that turns to God in repentance and offers gratitude rather than just empty rituals. That's what he doesn't want, is rituals. That's what they did back in the Old Testament. It was just all ritualistic, ritual, do. They didn't change. They just did. In the New Testament, those rituals became, you need to change. You need to turn from your past. You need to change from what you had been to something different. Born again. A new creation. Exemplifying that of Christ. That we want to have Christ live through us and in us so the people around us can see that and see that light Talk about the light and the salt of this earth and things that we are. Those are important things to be for the kingdom of God. Sometimes we don't put as much credence into them. We just, oh, it's a beautiful thing. Oh, the light of God. Oh, yeah. No, you are the light of Christ shining in this life. We find that the ultimate aroma was that of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Here we get back to the cross, which was described as a fragrant offering. And Ephesians 5:2, in the New King James, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. New Living says it this way: live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. You got to follow somebody, guys, right? We're all followers in this world. We think we're the leader. Nah, you're following. The leader's even following somebody. We just don't know who, but those that are out in the world are following that of the devil. That's their leader. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to that of God. We find in Philippians 4:18, it talks about the gifts provided by the Philippian church to support Paul as described as fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Oh, there is so much more to being an aroma, to be a sweet, sweet smell into the nostrils of God. Thank you, Lord. Check yourself and find out what kind of odor are you emitting. Do the old sniff test. Don't we do that in life sometimes? We pull something out of the refrigerator, it's been there maybe longer than it should. You open up the thing, say, here, honey, would you smell this and see if it's good? Oh! You know? Do the sniff test on yourself. Do a self-examination. Am I truly that of a sweet aroma? Am I living up to that standard? And if I'm not, have I asked for forgiveness and repented and turned away and asked God for forgiveness because he's full of grace and mercy and love, and he will do that and do that and do that over and over. But we got to realize ourselves. You got to go to him and say, I messed up. I did not do this well. Lord, I love you and I want to be your example to people around, and I think I blew it. And we do that because we're human. And we can't beat ourselves up. We just need to realize it. And just like the old adage of, you know, when you're in a fight or you get beaten down, it's not that you stay down. It's what happens when you get back up. You don't stay down. The devil would love for you to wallow in that stuff that Dawn brought up first before she jumped ahead of me. And now you ask a farmer, to them, that's money. So it just depends on where you're at. But be honest with yourself. What aroma are you giving off? Being overwhelmed by the extreme importance of spreading the gospel, here we find Paul. And I want to look at this in 2 Corinthians again. But I want to go 2 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6. So being overwhelmed by the extreme importance of spreading the gospel, and that's what we're to do, spread the gospel, Paul exclaimed, and who is equal to such a task? In 2 Corinthians 3, 5 through 6, the New King James, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from who? God, who made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. Not by law, the letter, the law, but by that of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. We're about giving life. God is all about giving life. New Living says, it is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of this new covenant. It's not by my ability. It's not by my knowledge. When I came into this whole thing from the secular world, I didn't know. And I still didn't. I wasn't trained up in this. I didn't go and have a big diploma. I couldn't tell you Greek and Hebrew and all this vernacular stuff. I can't pronounce all these words in the Bible. But I have a heart that I love God. And that developed from a relationship with Him. And when I tried, as we all try to talk and say, well, Lord, I don't think I can serve you well. There's many more people out there, much more educated and eloquent to things. But it's not that. He's saying, all I'm looking for is obedience. And I'm looking for people that I can just pour myself into. And you don't change it to what you think you want it to be. You just share my... What more message do we need other than reading two or three verses of the Bible? We don't need to get into a big scenario of all these things. It's just like, this is God's word. If it's good enough for God to speak it, it's good enough to be in here, let's just read it. And now let's put it to practice. Let's put it to use. And if it's not, basically, number one, to change us, and as we are changed, then we read more to where we can go out and helpfully change others through that of the word of God. Our qualification comes from God. All of us that sit in here today, your qualification comes from God to go out there to be a minister of the gospel. We are all ministers of the gospel. We all can share the good news. We all can go out. And by what we share of that of Christ, a life can be changed. He has enabled us to be ministers of this new covenant. This is a covenant of not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. This is all, when we serve God, it's all about life. Life in the Word. Living the Word. Let the Word live in you. Don't read it as a history book. Don't read it as, well, that was good, that's nice. Okay. And then put it away. But take it, read it, digest it, put it in your spirit. Ask God to help you learn more about what does this mean? How does this affect me? How can this help me be better for you, God? Because that's all what it turns out to be. We just want to be better for God. We want to give God our best. Not leftover things, not things that, well, I'm done here. Okay, now I'm ready for you, Lord. When God calls, you need to answer it right then. Especially to go and to serve and to be what He wants you to be. The destiny that He has on our lives is continuing. And even like back in Sunday school, it's like we go from one thing to another. We continually go on this earth until we are called home, serving Him, sharing about Him, learning about Him, encouraging one another about Him. We are that of the family of God and God living in us. Praise God for those in this body that are getting older and older and older. That's awesome. That's awesome. Just in things in life, as we get older and all, we think, and I've shared this so many times now that it's just old and old and over and over, but it's like I have found the older I got, the more decisions I have to make. Back when I was 25 and 30, I thought once my dad and mom, once I got to this age, it's like, easy peasy. You just sit there. What do you do? Just go here and go there. There's decisions upon decisions upon decisions. But it's okay because my God is with me. And I don't need to make the decision on my own. I go and say, Lord, we need help. We need direction. Put somebody in our path. And He did so many ways and so many times. And even in our personal lives, it's all God. So all we need to want to be is a sweet aroma to Him. Live out this life and smell good. He's with us. He is with us. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day and this time that we've had sharing Your word. And it's Your word, Lord. And how Your word helps us grow. It helps us understand more of You, Father. And really, Lord, if we would just realize it's not that difficult to understand You, if we just trust You and realize that You're there taking care of us, preparing the way, always there. We love You. And I pray right now for each one that is here, Lord, that You would continue to lead and guide them and strengthen them. And Father, speak into their spirits things even now, Lord, that would be new to them. that they would sense a freshness, a newness, even after they've served you for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it might be, Lord, that there's something fresh. Because, Lord, your word says there's mercies are new every morning. And as you are new every morning, Lord, there's always something to glean from you even more. Continue to be with us. Continue to help us. We want to nothing else in this world other than to get closer to you, Lord, to serve you today and tomorrow. We thank you, Father, for your care for us, for your mercy and grace for us. Bless each one here, I pray. And may you smell such a wonderful aroma out of each one of our lives as we serve our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.